Joshua 1, where I want you to notice, beginning in the very first introductory words of this book, the opening line, and then recognize what a thunderbolt they were for the people of God. It says in chapter 1, verse 1, "Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord." In verse 2, God says, "Moses, my servant is dead, now therefore arise." And yes, again, as we noted, this one reality would have been a shock to the children of God. You know, Moses was not just their leader for 4 or for 8 years. He had been their shepherd, their prophet, their priest for their entire lives. And that's not all, because in addition to Moses being dead, so were their sort of national borders. You know, they were literally moving out of one location on this earth to an entirely different one. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a nation not only getting a whole new leader, but a whole new location? Well, the pilgrims could, in this earthly sense, another reminder of their incredible courage. But folks, think about it this morning. For 40 years, all that these people experienced, all that they knew, was the same leader. And in fact, the same food, the same schedule, the same environment, the same clothing, the very same sandals. Remember, God had miraculously provided for them so that their clothes, their sandals, the Bible says, never wore out. For 40 years, the ladies had the same dress and the same shoes, which is why the men didn't want to go in the promised land. Amen? Because of the shopping. The wilderness was the promised land for cheap men. But for these people, you do realize that everything is about to change. Moses, their great leader of 40 years, is dead. And the quail and the manna, the miraculous supply of water, it's over. No more pillar of cloud by day and no more pillar of fire by night. So that their economy would be different, their environment would be different, their enemies would all be different. So great would all of these changes be, beloved, that 3 times in one conversation, God chooses to repeat the very same statement as an assurance to Joshua. Notice verse 6. "Be strong and of a good courage." Verse 7. "Only be thou strong and very courageous." Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage." And of course, do you think that Joshua and all of the people heard this repetition of the same admonition to have courage and to be strong? Well, look at the last line of the chapter, the very last line in verse 18 says, "Only be strong and of a good courage." That's the people repeating what God had said. You see, folks, God knew exactly how difficult and fearful and strange. He knew how uncomfortable all of these changes would be for his own people that he loved. And so he comes to Joshua, his servant, and he gives him a very specific and pointed message. And I want to say that it is his message for all people for all time. And it's what I want us to all to consider this morning as we speak on the subject, embracing the old normal. Embrace, see, Pastor, don't you mean the new normal? Aren't we supposed to be getting used to the new normal? Well, that's what the world likes to say. I remember ever since 9/11, TSAs and airports, no more carrying liquids on your luggage over a certain ounce and long security lines. It's the new normal, they said. Get used to the new normal. And then after the financial collapse in 2008, with banks and lenders, it's the new normal. And here again, once again, with COVID, we are told, with masks and social distancing and not shaking hands, we should accept all of this as the new normal, not just until the spring, but maybe even forever. It's frankly a favorite phrase of progressives and the left, who always have wanted abnormal stuff to become new normal. You may have noticed that the new world order now is called the Great Reset. The Great Reset was a phrase coined recently in Davos in Switzerland when all the big shots got together like they do every year. That's where billionaires lecture millionaires and talk about how we're supposed to live. It is also why this morning's text is so powerful and helpful today. Because God is not focusing on politics. God is not focusing on logistics or sandals or face coverings at all. In fact, think about it. You talk about a change. The children of Israel actually were doing the opposite of us. They were getting rid of their kafikas. They were getting rid of the claws that protected their faces and neck from sand and sun in that wilderness. And they were looking to fruitful mountains, right? All of this. Okay. But these were not the focus of God's counsel and hope and glory. What God was telling them to embrace was the old normal. The old normal, which is really our normal, which is really eternal. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. And Lord, even though we have read and studied and spoken on this text so many times, even though it's familiar to all of us in this room, no doubt, who are believers, we need to be reminded that you are a Jehovah God who never changes. And that in the midst of an uncertain future, an uncertain year that's soon to start, and looking back to a year that we had no idea of the amazing and incredible changes that would take place, we ask again that you will focus our hearts on you, on your word, and on the truth of it all. And so doing, help us to be strong and of a good courage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is Sunday, November the 22nd, 2020. In our text, it was the year 1451 B.C. Joshua and Caleb and all the nation of Israel stood in great anticipation because they are finally about to cross over the Jordan River, go into that promised land of Canaan. It was a new land where God declares that they would become a whole new nation. And of course, with all of this newness, they would have to face hundreds, if not even thousands, of minute, daily little changes in their lives. Remember that they were going now from tent-dwelling pilgrims to becoming landowners. They were changing from desert environment and scenery and economy and going into a land of water and wealth, so that everything big and small, imagine, everything was going to be different in their lives. But you know, with all of the changes and with all the differences that they would experience in their routine, there were actually three things that God knew in particular that would be the most difficult, that would be the most difficult to understand and to face. Because these were huge changes. These were the kinds of change and the kind of newness that people fear, that they dread in their lives, that gives them anticipation. They want to avoid them if at all they can. And so God, in his goodness and his grace, gave to them and has given to all of us, because his word is eternal, these wonderful promises. He comes to them and he addresses all three of these changes. And in every case, the same admonition is there: be strong and of a good courage. He reminds Joshua and his nation that some things never change. And you know what? By looking at the things that do change and that are changing and that will always change, it highlights and contrasts those things that do not. For example, the first thing for the people of God was, number one, you'll notice, a whole new leadership. Look at verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua. Verse 2, Moses, my servant, God said, is dead. Now, beloved, I hope you don't miss the gravity of what this particular change meant for all of the people of God. You understand, beloved, that Moses was not just some tribal leader. He wasn't just a mullah. He wasn't a sheik out in the desert. This man was their deliverer. He was their lawgiver. That's why it's called the Law of Moses. Their commander-in-chief, their mediator, their president, their teacher, their mayor, their counselor. He was their grandfather, you name it. He was essentially their prophet, their priest, and their king. And yet it says in verse 2, Moses, God's servant, was dead. Their great leader, their beloved leader, was gone. He's in heaven. So now what? What do they do? God says to Joshua, here's what you do. Verse 7, look at it. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. In other words, look, here's what he's saying. Joshua, it may be true that Moses, the man, is gone, but the word of God, the law of Moses that I gave to him, the Bible endures forever. The old normal, in other words, is still normal. In fact, fast forward about 1,500 years, and you will listen to our Lord Jesus Christ declare that lost people, quote, have Moses. Not something new, Pastor? He said they have Moses and the prophets. And if they don't listen to this, they wouldn't listen even if a fresh new body came up out of the grave. Embracing the old normal. Listen to the Apostle Peter say that the Scripture is a more sure word of prophecy than his own eyewitness experience. You see, beloved, some things never change. Governments change. Economies change. People change and leaders change. 4,000-year-old definitions of marriage change in some societies. The definition of a male and a female can change in our own lifetimes. But the Word of God endureth forever. Whatever states and nations and whatever denominations will do with their constitutions, God will never have to amend His Word. There's no amendments. And you know why? Because our God knows the beginning from the ending. And His Word, which is eternal in the heavens, contains all things that pertain unto life and godliness. For us, that means Genesis to Revelation. For Joshua and his people at this moment in time, it meant the law of Moses. Moses was dead, but Moses is God, who still speaks faithfully to his people, was very much alive. In other words, no amount of change with respect to the prophet had any effect on the prophecy. And yes, beloved, it is true that there are a lot of groups and there are a lot of denominations today that have changed so much that though they even carry a so-called Christian name, they're really more apostate than they are apostolic. I know that. There are a lot of people who have no Moses leadership, and therefore, because of that, no faith in their lives. But you know what? For those who believe God, we know this book is still the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, just like the Lord Jesus himself. Attacked, maligned, ridiculed, hated, all for a reason. Whatever the changes in the world, this is the Word of God, and though hammers beat upon the Word of God, generation after generation, the Bible never changes. Last eve, I paused beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring its vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all these hammers so? Just one, said he. And then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word. For ages, skeptics' blows have beat upon. But though the familiar and falling blows was heard, the anvil's unchanged. The hammers are gone. The skeptics and the liars, those, beloved, are gone. Pastor, there's so many changes, unsettling changes, fearful changes. I know. But some things never change. Embrace the old normal. A whole new leadership, that was the first thing. But forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The second thing you'll notice is a change in stewardship. Chapter 1, look at verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, that's the Mediterranean, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. In other words, they're about to change from desert wilderness to a watered garden. What's that mean? Well, let me tell you what it means. For one thing, it means no more need for miraculous water. No more need for water from a rock. It also means, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. You see, the land was always promised before. Now it's not called promised land, it's the land. It is not in the desert, it is land. The desert's called wilderness. And in that land, that desert, God sent quail, manna from heaven. He miraculously provided for their needs. There were millions of them. And in that provision, they became very content, but they'll never see it again. And you know something? Hear me. For many people, this was like kicking their crutches away from them. They were accustomed to not having to worry about daily bread and fresh water. You know, Jesus said that we should pray for our daily bread, right? Give us this day our daily bread. How many of us really have to pray for today's bread, lest we don't have it? They no longer had miraculous manna. Being accustomed to having to worry about these things, it's all changed. All of the griping that they did back then for that provision, it was still a blessed thing for them. But now it's all about to change and do so forever. Let me just say that this is not unlike, hear me, not unlike the changes that we will and probably experience when it comes to our own stewardship and what lies before us in the months and the years ahead. And some of you now. You know, anybody who's ever had to get a new job, had to move to a new location, anyone here who's gotten laid off, and I know some of you just in the past 2 weeks have, anybody who's lost certain benefits, they've had those benefits just taken for granted for many, many years. In fact, anybody who's gotten married, had babies, had to send those babies off to college. You know what it's like when change suddenly includes a whole new stewardship. But you know something? Those who have come to and through all of those situations, they can come up here, some of them will on Thursday from their pews, they can come up here and they can testify that God has always been faithful. It may be that there's no more manna, but beloved, the one who sent the manna never changes. The one who provided for it is still sure. It was God who said in Malachi, I am Jehovah. I change not, therefore. You know, a lot of people forget the therefore. I am Jehovah, I change not, therefore. This is the reason why he's talking about his immutability. I change not, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The reason why you're not overwhelmed or destroyed or without sustenance is because I am God and I don't change. Really, Pastor? Okay. James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. What's the rest of it say? Right? With whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, God's provision is not based upon Wall Street. It's not based upon who's running the United States Treasury. God's provision is connected to his permanence. His menu might change, but his mercy never does. Oftentimes when I see the Johnstons like we did yesterday, Brother Stan's 95th birthday celebration, Or when I see Brother Sisk, as we did a couple weeks ago, that man standing behind this pulpit still strong. When I see the Woosters and some of the older folks in our church. And I think about some of them, especially the ones in their 90s, going, for example, through the Great Depression. Tough times. But when I see them and I see them still loving God, serving God, and being provided for by God, I'm encouraged that God, our God, is faithful. Amen? When I think about Brother Terry here going through the Irish potato famine in 1845. Look at verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. He's saying, remember, remember. Look at verse 15. There's three important words in verse 15. Until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it. Those three words. And enjoy it. In other words, look, just because they're not going to have that sweet bread from heaven, those Krispy Kremes that came down every morning, not too bad. God is telling them, it doesn't mean no more blessing. In fact, if anything, it means better blessing, more blessings. And no matter what the changes are in the months or the years ahead, materially even, if gas reaches $5 a gallon, and maybe there's a new president and administration, and then suddenly there's a, let's just say there's a disastrous economy. Layoffs, recession. I mean, ponder the possibilities before us, whatever it is. One thing we know, and again, looking at these men, these families have been around two generations. The changes that began in 2021, potentially monumental, perhaps. Perhaps even more so for disciples of Jesus Christ. Good people don't like the new normal because it's not really normal. But regardless of what happens, the Bible is reminding us that there is always the old normal. And the old normal is eternal, that God provides for his own. And whatever the changes in the land, including, by the way, if it were to be the opposite, if it's a 10-year bubble of great prosperity, the fact remains, some things never change. I am Jehovah. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know, Pastor, sometimes I hear you stand in the pulpit and you mention about the fact that you're saved and you can't wait to see people who are in heaven. And honestly, every week, heaven does seem to get more like home, the more of our loved ones who are there. How are you so sure? I'm sure because he doesn't change. I change. The world changes, but his promises never change. A change in leadership, a change in stewardship. The third thing I want you to notice, there would also be for them a change in worship. Now follow this carefully, because this applies to what we've been enduring in some ways, and I use the word enduring with air quotes. It's not that awful since March. Exodus 40:38 says, "For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and the fire by night. In the sight of all the house of Israel, it was in their sight throughout all their journeyings." Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that for 40 years they had the visible presence of God that would lead them, as Nehemiah says, by day and by night? But of course, you don't see the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire after Exodus and Numbers. In fact, the truth is, even though the ark remained at the tabernacle, most of the people were miles away, and they would continue to be scattered farther and farther away in that land from the visible presence that had changed. But you see, once again, we're reminded, and God tells his people, be strong and of a good courage, that the old normal for believers never changes. See, what do you mean, Pastor? Look at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why? For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You see, folks, the truth is, we have something better. I'm telling you right now, I have something better right now today than a pillar of cloud. If it were behind me, before this screen showing the presence of God. We have something better than a pillar of fire. Because we have the word of our Lord Jesus Christ who promised, lo, I'm with you always. Even unto the end of the world. You walk out those doors and out those doors and get in your car and drive away. In your mind you're thinking, wow, the pillar of cloud is back there. Pillar of fire is back there on Indian Town Road. Let's do a U-turn and go back. I walk out those doors and out that door and into my car. And I know that God's with me. That his presence and his promise is with me. As Jesus said, even unto the end of the world. And yes, we are looking ever closer to the end of this world. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But Pastor, things have changed so much, they're different. I don't feel his presence. It's not the same, Pastor. We had a drive-in service. For a little while, we had to come in cars and park out there and roll our windows down or hear on a speaker. You know what I thought about it? I thought it was awesome. I thought we opened up the Word of God and we fellowshiped and Jesus was with us and we were convicted and people were saved. Whether you see it or feel it, I get this on occasion. I got it when we moved from the old building to this building over 10 years ago. Pastor doesn't feel the same. I'm not really concerned about how it feels because I know what he promises. I remember, you've heard this story before, but I like it, so I'm going to tell it again. Rick was in college, Ben was little, Andy was in school. And Rick was coming home, I think without Andy this time, and from Knoxville, because he had finished his student teaching. And Ben, being a little boy at that time, missed his brothers immensely. So Louise and I said, you know, we're not going to tell Ben, because he'll be like, when's he coming? Five more minutes? We're not even going to tell him. We're just going to have Rick show up. And then I thought, I know what I'm going to do. Even though Ben kept saying, I miss Ricky, I miss Andy constantly. He knew it was getting close. And there was an occasion where Ben wanted me to call Rick and have him on the phone, help him fix a game on his computer. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Because it was like just a few hours away. I told Rick, I said, call me when you get to Jupiter. And he did. I don't know if you remember this, Rick. And he called and he said, I'm on Donald Ross. We lived in the Heights in those days, and I'm almost there. And so I started a conversation with Ben, and I said, Ben, you know, I can't have Rick fix your game by the phone, but how about if I transport Rick here? Just bring him physically right here. And he said, no, Dad, he's getting married, and then we're not going to see him for 20 years. And he started welling up in tears. I said, no, Ben, I can transport him here. I said, Ben, you know how they do in Star Trek? He says, Dad, that's not funny. And it's not real. Really. So I took my phone out and I went, and I timed it perfectly. The door opened because I had unlocked it. And the door opened and there stood Rick. And Ben's like, he looks at Rick and he looks at me and he looks at Rick. His eyes are this big. And I have to tell you, that old commercial, you know, the cost of gas for Rick to come, $40. The cost of the turnpike, $10.40. Ben thinking that Dad has a transporter room, priceless, amen. But my point is this, Ben didn't feel. In fact, he felt the opposite. He did not feel at all. He didn't believe that Rick was near or standing outside that door, but he was. He just didn't see him. He didn't see him, but he was there nonetheless. Look, listen, it doesn't matter that I don't see a pillar of fire or a pillar of cloud. It doesn't matter if I don't feel it. It doesn't matter what changes occur in this country, in this county, and in this town, in and around us. They are physical or that are imposed upon us. Fear thou not, God says, for I am with thee. The Apostle Peter writing to a group of persecuted believers, far more persecuted than we are or probably ever will be. He said to those believers, Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love. I love him today. And I don't have to see him to love him. Beloved, it doesn't matter what kind of change occurs in our nation or our society. No matter what goes on around us, it cannot alter what Christ has done in us. The old normal, because there are things that don't change. And one of the never-changing things for the people of God is the promise and the reality of His own presence. I heard a Christian fretting a while back about how much the world is changing and how fast, not just acknowledging it, that there are changes, not just discerning that, man, things are different. That's not it. But they were fretting it, dreading it, wringing their hands over it, constantly on the internet, finding out who's moving the chess pieces to make the changes and what are we going to do about it. And I spoke with this person because immediately I thought of Paul's words to the Corinthians 2,000 years ago. He said in 1 Corinthians 7:31, for the fashion of this world passeth away. Now think about that. Because if you want to talk about, changes, for Paul, the revelation was the world isn't changing. It's not just changing. It's passing away. That's a change. And the fashion of it is passing away. So when Paul wrote those words, was he fearful? Was he fretful? When God showed him that the world around him, and especially and immediately his own world of the Roman Empire, was passing away. Well, he closes the letter with the words, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men and greet one another with a holy kiss. Brother Terry, come up here. Let's fulfill that Bible verse, shall we? In other words, he wasn't fearful. The Apostle Paul wasn't telling the Corinthians to fret and be fearful. He was saying, be strong in the Lord, quit you like men and be strong, stand fast in the faith, he said. In fact, in chapter 16 and verse 22, he says, Maranatha, the Lord is coming. Pastor, look at the world, we're coming towards the end. Evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. I think just a few months ago we preached on the subject, we were told. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee, thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. That's the old normal that I'm embracing because it's eternal. Changes are all around us, and there's going to be more. But then there always have been around us. But beloved, our faith does not rest on changes or so-called new normals. Let's close with this. Look backward one page, would you? Deuteronomy 33. And a good example is verse 27. It says this. Look at it. Deuteronomy 33, 27. This is Moses speaking. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. You know what this is, beloved? This is the song of Moses. You know that's the song of Moses. And do you know the very next time you see the song of Moses in Revelation chapter 15? When at the end of the end of the end, we will all still be singing about the everlasting arms. Underneath are the everlasting arms. So if the world changes and leadership changes and our stewardship changes, and how we meet and where we meet changes, God never changes. And instead of being fretful, Joshua stands before the people by the command of God and says, be faithful, be strong and of a good courage. And God's people said, amen. Our Father in heaven, we are grateful for your word and your promises. And we are also grateful, Father, that we can look back, not just over the last 3,500 years, but and not just over the past 2,000 years, but Father, we can look back over the past 20 weeks and 20 months and 20 years in this place. And we can see and we can say, great is thy faithfulness. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. I ask, Father, that we at Beacon Baptist Church in this place and at this hour, not knowing the things which shall befall us, not knowing what will happen in January of this year or the next year of February, we know that you know. And that whatever little changes and big changes happen around us, the things that never change are what matters.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.